إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whom all praise belongs. And we seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask Allah's assistance. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I bear witness and testify, as you bear witness and testify, that there is no object of worship that is worthy except Allah. And He is alone, He has no partners with Him. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger. We ask Allah to exalt His mention, grant Him peace, and send His salutations and His blessings upon Him, upon His companions, upon His wives, and upon all of those who follow them on the path of righteousness until the day of recompense. O you who have believed, be mindful of Allah and fear Him the way He deserves it, and do not die except as Muslims. Brothers in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal created the nations and sent prophets to them. And there were always common commands and prohibitions from the time of Adam until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therefore until the end of time. Things that the nations were to do and things that the nations were to leave alone. Among the things that Allah commanded everyone is taqwa. Every single person, every son of Adam, from the beginning of time until the end of time, is commanded to be mindful of Allah, to be pious, and to avoid sinfulness. We ask Allah to forgive us and aid us. But there was also some things which we are not supposed to do. And Allah warned us, if we were to embark on those things which He made prohibited, then the nation at large will be at stake. It will be endangered. Sinfulness, by default, affects the individual. And in the general sense, it affects the community and the society. But it remains to be personal to a large extent, because a person can hide his sins. However, there are certain things which have an immediate impact on the ummah, all of us. And today, look around. Look around. What is the one characteristic that is found in almost every group, every denomination, every hizb in Islam? It's one common trait that Allah Azza wa Jal told the people of the book to abandon. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us and told us to abandon, and yet we insist on doing it. I'm sure you're interested in knowing what it is. It is ghulu. Ghulu is an Arabic terminology or Arabic term that can be translated in so many different ways. But the fundamental three core meanings are extremism, excessiveness, and overboard. Look around. You will see this is the trait of most. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. Either it's a group from among the groups in Islam with their different titles, you will find that they have this trait of extremism in one aspect of the religion. They take one aspect of the religion and they go to extreme in it, therefore compromising other elements of the religion, usually more important than the thing they're focusing on. And this is a formula of destruction. While it may appear to be bringing some positive results in the short term, in the long term, it will eventually destroy us. It is like drugs. And inshallah, none of you will ever take any drugs. But ask the drug addict. He will enjoy the high upon consumption of drugs or alcohol or whatever. In the beginning, while you're taking it, obviously they're happy, otherwise they wouldn't take it. But then come look in the long run what happens to them. Depression, anxiety, social problems, and most likely death. Some sort of disease, some sort of illness, and if it's a drunkard, he will eventually crash into someone or kill someone or get killed because of his stupidity while being drunk. So don't be glamored and fooled by the hype of any group in Islam which seems to be doing something good. Fantastic. We have a yardstick. The yardstick is the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding and application of the Sahaba and their followers. If whatever thing is being taking place is not in agreement with this yardstick, then we will turn away from it. And we will not be fooled by the glamour that comes along. What in the world will make a Muslim kill a fellow Muslim? Extremism. What would make a Muslim declare another one to be a disbeliever? Extremism. What would make a Muslim call on a dead man in the grave? Extremism. What would make a Muslim make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam equal to Allah, if not better than Allah? Extremism. What will make a Muslim blindly follow one imam and shut down the rest of scholarship? Extremism. What will make him go around in the streets abandoning his family, telling people to come pray in the masjid? Extremism. What would make him declare every human being upon earth to be an innovator except five individuals? Extremism. And the list goes on. It is all ghulu. And Allah told the people of the book, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقَّ. Don't go to extremes in your religion. Jesus was simply the messenger of Allah. Then he became the son of Allah. Then he became the embodiment and the human form of Allah. تعالى الله عما يقول الظالمون علوا كبيرا. Then he became one of the triune God and the Holy Trinity with God. Then speak to the Christians now, you will never know who Jesus really is. And Allah told them, don't go to extremes in your religion. And when the Muslims showed a slight indication, a very small indication of following the footsteps of the Nasara with Jesus, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shut it down right then and there. When one of the Sahaba said, "Anta Sayyiduna," you are our master and the son of our master, and you are the best. He said, Hold on. Don't let the shaitan fool you. لا يستهوينكم الشيطان. Don't let the shaitan drive you crazy. Do not exaggerate and praise in me like the Christians did with Jesus. I am only the slave of Allah. So call me the slave of Allah and His messenger. Period. Say this to the Muslims now. They will kill you. They will kill you. Are you saying he's dead? The Prophet is not dead. The Prophet is from the Nur of Allah. The Prophet doesn't have a shadow. The Prophet never did this. He never did that. all types of accusations attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like he warned, and just like they tried to start and he didn't allow it to even take place. But he also told us, you will follow the footsteps of the people of the book, handspan by handspan, and arm's length by an arm's length. Even if they entered the hole of a lizard, a very tiny lizard goes into a hole, you will enter the same hole behind them. So it is inevitable that we will have people going to extreme in their so-called love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wallahi, it is not love. It is not love. It is desires. And the shaitan does not care in which direction he leads us astray as long as we go astray. Either negligence in the religion or excessiveness in the religion, he doesn't care. As long as you're not on the balanced path, he is satisfied. So he will allow these people to have a religious entity, a religious appearance, a religious what you might call it, whatever you want. Everything appears to be in line with the sunnah. But in reality, it is worse than those who are not even practicing Islam. Because these people are looked at as figures in this religion, and they are the people that are guiding the rest of the Muslims astray. So when you try to reason with a Muslim, you're unable to do so. He's been brainwashed so much already to believe in these awliya and so on and so forth, that there's no ground for reasoning with him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them. He said, these people, they will read the Quran, they will recite the Quran, they will have acts of worship, but it will not go past their throats. They will not understand what they're saying. No understanding. That's why they will use the Quran to lead astray and lead others astray, to lead themselves astray and lead others astray. With the Quran, they'll do takfir on you. With the Quran, they will take you out of Islam. With the Quran, they'll make it halal to kill you. And he said, يَقْتُلُونَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ. They will kill the people of Islam. وَيَدْعُونَ أَهْلَ الْأَوْثَانِ. And they will leave the disbelievers. What do we see today? This guy who took his cousin out in the desert in the name of Islam and shot him dead like he's a sheep. What in the world is going on? Where is this in our religion? What type of extremism is this? This is the extremism of these so-called jihadis. The people supposedly that are trying to establish the deen on earth by killing our fellow brothers. Without any authority that Allah gave them whatsoever. Some Joe appears from nowhere, tells me he's my Khalifa. Excuse me. Who in the world are you? Where did you come from? What's your history? What's your background? Your credentials? What? Just like that? So then the next day I make the same declaration. He makes the same declaration. Now it's binding on you to give bay'ah. Because he just said, I'm the Khalifa, you have to give bay'ah to me. What is this nonsense? It's extremism, ya akhwan. And when we don't know our religion, we just follow. We will follow. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us from following the footsteps of the Jews and the Christians in this regard. And the scholars say there are two types of ghulu. There's one which is i'tiqadi, that is based on belief, as in what you believe about the matters of the unseen, and there's amali, one that has to do with acts of worship. The former, the example is worshipping dead people, seeking their intercession, things of the sort that we now have all over the Muslim world. We go to the graveyard of Fulan, or we even bring him to the masjid. Why not? Bury the dead in the masjid, or build a masjid over the grave. And they call on to these people besides Allah. And when you argue, they say, I'm not calling him. I believe in Allah. I worship Allah alone. He's a wali of Allah. I'm only using him as means to get to Allah. تَجَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts are equal. They resemble each other, just like the disbelievers. They used to make the same statements. قَالُوا هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving da'wah to the Quraysh and telling him, leave alone this Lat and Uzza, leave him alone. They said, no, these are only our intercessors with Allah. We know. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَكُولُنَّ اللَّهِ If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. They will admit. But they will say, these are our intercessors with Allah. Copy paste. Same thing the Muslims say today. And another aspect of the i'tiqadi, the matters of belief in ghulu, is the one of takfir. One of the most dangerous crimes in Islam. For one of us to say that this person has left Islam. If there wasn't any risk or calamity except that, as the Prophet ﷺ said, if it doesn't apply to him, it will fall back on you. If that was the only risk, then that is enough. By declaring him a kafir, you have declared yourself a kafir. This is why, in these matters, we have to know our role. We are not all the same, my brothers. Alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mah from Allah. At the time of the Sahaba, the same thing happened. When there were news about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorcing his wives, then random people started spreading the news and speaking about it. And Allah criticized them for that. He said, had they referred these matters to the Messenger and those of knowledge among them, then those who have knowledge would have been able to deduce and understand what to say and what not to say. So he taught us in this particular ayah that we, the regular people, don't discuss certain matters. It is not my job or your job to be the political critique of the century. Every day, running this mouth. The crane falls, you have something to say. Stampede, you have something to say. I don't know what, you have something to say. In the process, you are speaking ill of rulers, governors, and the list goes on. It's not your job, ya akhi. Why would you put yourself in a situation that Allah had kept you free from? What business do you have to speak about these matters when you're not involved in this process? If there's something wrong out there, the safest thing for you to do is mind your business. Just mind your business. Because if you say something, and in the process you have wrong people, without knowledge, you become liable before Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Since you're not in a position to speak, just don't speak. Some people are really bent on these things. A disaster happens, now everybody's got something to say. This is not fair. What about the pilgrims? Where's the preparation? Ya subhanallah. What do you want, ya akhi, from human beings? Go to America, let them stop a tornado from taking place. Barakallah feek. Let their modern technology stop the tornadoes and the thunderstorms and all types of natural disasters. Let them. Oh, you don't open your mouth then. But when it entails speaking ill about the government, now mashallah, you became very verbal. What do you want? You manage this business. Tufaddal. Run this country. Let us see what you're going to do. Umar ibn al-Khattab of the century. Everybody's quick to speak. It's none of our business. It's extremism and a trait of the Khawarij to be criticizing like this all the time without knowing what you're talking about. Even if you knew, you're not allowed to speak. Unless Allah gave you this authority. You're the Mufti, you're the Sheikh, you're the Mawlana. People come to you, may Allah make it easy for you. And none of us here is that person. It's propaganda that the people try to use against us. And we don't know that while we speak about these things and we spread them in this negative manner, we're aiding the Shia, the enemies of Islam, directly and indirectly. This is exactly the type of propaganda and drama they want to cause in the Mamlaka. They love this stuff. They instigate for this stuff. and we become tools in their hands, then we speak ill about them and complain. So for future references, when matters involve big events, governments, rulers, we have very codified way of dealing with it in the Sunnah. If anyone wants to challenge it, bring on your evidence. Bring on the evidence. But the evidences are clear cut like the sun, that you're not supposed to be speaking about these matters in a public manner like this. So when one of us goes against that, he's actually falling into one of the worst types of extremism that breed the type of violence that we see today. That made these shabab want to pack their stuff and go to Syria. They want to fight. Under which flag, ya Sheikh? Under which rulership? Under which Amir? Doesn't know. Most of them get picked up at the airport by the Shia, and they tell them we're Ahl Sunnah. They wind up killing their own brothers, fighting alongside the Shia. They don't know who's what. Just saw a few videos where Muslims are getting beat, got emotional. Now you want to go and save the Ummah. Our religion is organized. It doesn't have this type of stuff. When Allah has a decree for the Ummah, it will come. And when it becomes obligatory on you, you will know. It will not be one of these ambiguous matters that you figure out on your own. So I warn myself and you against extremism, because today is going to eat us alive unless we do something about it. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على رسول الله. أما بعد, ابن عباس narrated رضي الله عنه that while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in مزدلفة, he asked him to pick up some pebbles for him which he will use to stone the Jamarat. And we would like to use the term stone the Jamarat, not stone the devil, because the devil is not in the wall. And had he been there, he would have been dead a long time ago with millions of pebbles being thrown at him. It is made as an act to resemble the concept, and it's for the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal merely. Nobody's going to throw hard enough to kill the shaitan like this. So we don't want to use this term that the media uses, stoning the devil, stoning the devil. And the non-Muslims wonder, what are the people doing? All these local, you know, newspapers can't even be particular about words. They put this out in the news, and the whole world reads, Muslims are going to a wall to stone the devil? Doesn't make any sense when you choose these types of words. Whatever, that's not the topic now. That needs a khutbah on its own. He told him to pick up the pebbles for him to stone, the 7 pebbles. Ibn Abbas brought him a very the size of a chickpea or a garbanzo bean. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this context chose to tell the Sahaba. He said, with the size of this pebble, then stone. And woe to you from extremism. Because what destroyed the nations which preceded you was ghulu, was extremism. This is one of the most amazing narrations because of the context and the lesson behind it. One would say, ya akhi, it's just a pebble for Allah's sake. What difference does it make if I chose a much bigger one or a much smaller one? Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you that when his sunnah has been established, shut down your brain, unless your brain is intelligent enough to understand the sunnah. If you're intelligent enough to understand the sunnah, use it. If you're going to use your brain to negate the sunnah, shut it down. You will never get it right. Don't get philosophical with the sunnah. This is the size. try to justify, but wallah, this size is not convenient to throw. Maybe it will get lost in my pocket. Maybe then people start coming up, everyone has his own opinion. No, the sunnah does not entertain all of that. This is the size. And woe to you from extremism. Because what destroyed the nations before you is extremism. In this context, why would this narration be said? To show you that even in the smallest matters, the Prophet ﷺ feared of us being extreme and excessive, let alone in the greater matters, which we have definitely done. And but what do we have today? People get the stones, they wash them, shower them, put oud on them, atar, special bag. Exactly what he told us not to do. Pick out the number for the whole Hajj this year and the upcoming year. Marra wahda, since I'm there already. Extremism. In the size of a pebble, you can go to extreme by going too small or too large. Because that's what destroyed the nations before us. Everything started small. Innovation starts small. Person say, "Yaki, not a big deal. It's okay." Then it becomes popular. Two people do it. Three people do it. The whole masjid does it. The masjid teaches another masjid. One day you come to speak. Lah. Lah ya akhi. Inna wajadna aba'ana ala umma. We find our forefathers doing this. Now who are you to tell us this is wrong? Try to convince them that from the beginning this was wrong. Mission impossible. Illa. Man shaa Allahu an yahdiya. Unless Allah wants to guide someone, and we praise Allah Azza wa Jalla for guiding many. So my brothers in Islam, to conclude and finalize. Today, extremism is all over the place. Extremism in ignoring Islam, extremism in taking one aspect of Islam and over applying it, extremism in violence, extremism in self-expression. All these platforms, WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, everyone has something to say about this religion. No filtering, no preparation, no consideration. The fatawa are just running wild. To protect yourself, take the sideline. If it's something that concerns you directly, alhamdulillah, get involved. If it doesn't concern one of us, then take the sideline, because a time will come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the best thing for the believer will be out in the mountains with the sheep. To run away from these fitan, which we see the safest thing for your religion, to be away from all this drama and all this headache. But now if you go to the mountain, your phone will be with you. So it will chase you over there. So you have to have discipline. You have to have self-control. And your children, protect them from this wave of violence that has overtaken us. Speak to them, reason with them. Their emotions have to be channeled properly. It is good to have jealousy for Islam. It is necessary to have jealousy for Islam and the Muslims. But there is a way of executing that in Islam. It is not based on chaos and randomness. That will only make bigger problems. It will never resolve the issue. Take the time to learn this religion and to apply it, and understand that there is no salvation for this ummah until we strictly adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the way of the Sahaba. No salvation. Any other formula will eventually fail. We have seen it throughout the centuries. They all failed. This is why we are where we are in today. That's exactly why we are in the position we're in today globally. Because they tried so many things. Sufism came along, and this came along, and that came along. Nothing works. Wallahi, nothing works. Except one way. The way of the Salaf. The way of the righteous predecessors. And it is encompassing for every Muslim. It is not restricted for some countries, for some people, for some skin color, for some passports. It does not know that type of stuff. No discrimination in it. Everyone is invited. And in it, there are extremists which you have to avoid. It is not a Jannah on earth, no doubt. But it is the safe haven for us to seek prosperity. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deen. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, isrif qulubana ala ta'atik. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين واجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واغفر لنا ذنوبنا جميعا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا جميعا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا وارفع عنا الخطايا والمصائب والفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروه. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد.